The first principle with Abraham was to please God. If I can understand that. The first principle was to please him. That led him to the steps that he had to take. And we know what happened. I think Tony has answered that well. It's not isolation. You don't help somebody by getting on the same level with them. You'll never lift anybody up on the table by being down on the floor with them. You understand what I'm saying. So, it's a good question. Abraham is the answer and Lot. Now let's look at 13:13. Let us, Hebrews 13:13. I'm just going to read the whole verse. Let us go forth, therefore, think again about Moses, okay? Think about the tent of meeting. Let us go forth, therefore, right in the middle of this verse. Who is here? Oh, the Lord Jesus is there. I see right away in the center of that verse, the Lord Jesus is set before me. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him. Here is another answer to your question. There's that which Scripture calls the camp. In the Old Testament, we know what it was. In the New Testament, we're going to look at the whole great circle of all these things that have amalgamated, been brought in under the name of Christ. Many things right, many things wrong. What am I going to do? Am I willing to say, Lord, in this day of difficulty that I live in, will you show me your way? Without the camp, others will comment, bearing his reproach.
I just wanted to make one more comment on that question. I totally agree with what the brothers were saying, but just to make it a little more obvious, it's not that you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian now. I can't talk to you anymore. You don't just cut off people. What you do is you cut off the activities that you can't associate with. Like, I have friends at work who smoke and drink and party, and I make it clear to them that I can't do those things with them. And they understand that that's because I'm a Christian.
And to underline the point for our, what about other Christians that don't follow the same path, or that we see that in the Word of God that don't do certain things. We see in 1 John 5:2, it says, hereby know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, not by associating with them, but by doing what God has told us to do. That's how we show that we love them.
Following Christ in this world is a place of reproach. There is cost. The question that has been asked is a good one. There is cost attached with discipleship. I need to see that, young people. It is going to leave me open to the assault of the enemy in many ways. People are going to perhaps say of you, you're a goody two-shoes. You think you're better than we are. You've taken that place of separation. What am I to do? I'm to follow him, regardless.
It's really, there is a reward in there. I mean, we're talking about, okay, separating from our friends and going unto him outside the camp. There is reproach. But what I'm saying is this, the Lord is saying, he said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. People tell you today, if you're a Christian, everything will be fine. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know what? I don't know. I might be wise, but I don't know about healthy and wealthy. If you are a Christian, there is suffering involved, but there is a reward involved. And I want us to realize that our crowns are given for those who faithfully have followed the Lord. I have fought the good fight. He contended for the faith and said, I wasted my life. No. He said, there is a crown of righteousness. There is a crown for those who do right, who do right. It is a matter of doing right according to the word of God. There is a reward. Are you going to be happy, content inside of you, even if the pressure, peer pressure is a very rough thing. It is. Peer pressure at school is a very rough thing. And the enemy used that to help you to follow the crowd. You don't follow the crowd. You don't do what you do. You want, remember, this is what you told me today. You want to be a vessel of honor fit for the master use. And the Lord heard you saying that. You said it. So you signed something now. Now I'm not talking about that. It's not a contract. But the desire of your heart that you want to be a vessel of honor. There is a reward for that, young people. There is a reward for that.
Can we just circle back to the thought that we began with Moses? Because I think this is very helpful to us to understand that there is a real tremendous benefit spiritually for going out unto Christ who is outside of the camp. Now remember in Exodus 33 that Moses comes down, the people had sinned, and Moses stands outside the camp. And then he goes where the tabernacle, the tent of meeting was. And it says that Moses entered into the tabernacle, and the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. When we go out unto Christ, we will find that there are others who have taken the same place and position. And most importantly, that we have gone out unto him, leaving the systems of men and all of the evil and things of that nature behind us. What do we get? We have the presence of the Lord. Think of the people who were not with Moses, but they observed him. And they observed the cloud coming down there at the tent, the tabernacle. And they observed Moses standing there at the door, and God had told Moses that when you come to the door, that it's there that I will meet you. If we want the Lord Jesus and his presence to be known in our lives and to have the vitality, the spiritual vitality and the witness in this world that has cast him out. You know, Christendom is a mixture of all that is true and false. We want to go out unto him. And when we do, what we find is that he draws near to us and he speaks to us young people. You know, we say, what is the will of God in my life? How do I know this? How do I know that? Well, when we are outside the camp, it is that he draws near to us. His presence is known. He speaks to us face to face. It is a most wonderful place. And then we find that there are others of common like faith, common position, that have come out as well, bearing his reproach, that are blessed by his presence.
Let us say in closing to the young people here, when you look in the lunch line today, you're going to find a whole room full of people who faced the very exercise that you're going through, your mothers and your fathers. If you have older brothers and sisters, we all go through this exercise. Let us leave with what Emil has set before us and Tony, that this is a place of blessing. It's where I find him. It's where in this day of confusion and ruin that is around us, it is the very directions as to where Christ is. That if I want to find him today, I have to look and I have to follow. This is an instruction book. This is a roadmap. This is my map. To find the Lord Jesus, I don't go where he is not. If you come to my house, and I tell you right now, I live in Bluefield. If you come to Tazewell, Virginia, it's close to me, you'll not find me there. I don't live there. It's not my home. This is what the Lord is setting for us before us here. He says, this is where you can find me. So I trust that it'll be a subject in your devotions tonight, but more than that, that it is a matter of real exercise as you go home and you look over what we've gone, that you come back to this conclusion, it is the place of blessing.
Thank you very, very much. We really, 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 really love you and appreciate you. And listen, you might still have some questions. Find us Ask questions. Don't leave here with any doubt in your mind about this truth. But you know what? You continue to go on for the Lord. Study His word. Love Him. And you know what? He honors those who honor Him.